Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Incoming Hamilton County Juvenile Court Judge Carrie Bloom won an upset victory over incumbent Judge John Williams in last year's election. Previously an attorney for the Hamilton County Public Defender's Juvenile Division, Bloom ran on pledges to reform the county's juvenile system. But efforts to cut into racial disparities in our local juvenile justice system predate Bloom's election. In 2019, Hamilton County courts, local school districts, and other organizations participated in a program designed to reduce juvenile arrest and detentions, especially among young people of color. That program is run by Georgetown University's Center for Juvenile Justice Reform. I spoke earlier to Judge Bloom before she was sworn in, and a representative from the Georgetown University Center for Juvenile Justice Reform. Here is our pre-recorded interview. Joining us now is Judge-elect Carrie Bloom, who will serve as a judge on the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas Juvenile Division. Judge-elect Bloom, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Also with us is Michael Lumpierre. He's the director of the Center for Juvenile Justice Reform at Georgetown University. Michael, thank you for taking the time to be with us as well.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure to have both of you. Judge-elect Bloom, you were elected on a platform calling for some reforms and changes to the way we handle juvenile cases in this county. Why don't we start by talking about some of those campaign pledges that you made and apply them to the problems that exist currently as you see them. What's the biggest issue that you see happening for kids facing the potential for criminal penalties here in Hamilton County? Is it the obstacles for children in the community who have to find ways to be kept out of the criminal justice system?
It is yes and. I believe that the biggest issue, that would be my word, is issue that we have here for kids and families in Hamilton County is the racial disparity or the disparity in the makeup of the kids who are arrested, sent to detention, separated from their families, their parents, and separated from their schools. The alarming rates at which Black and Brown children in most cities, ours certainly included, are removed and taken out of their environments starts the cycle of what we refer to as the school-to-prison pipeline or the preschool-to-prison pipeline, where we see as people get older, once they've had their first sort of step in the door or first connection with the criminal justice system, including the juvenile system, it makes it that much more likely that they will eventually lead a life where they have repeated contacts with the court, repeated contacts with incarceration, which of course leads to homelessness, it leads to unemployment, and it leads to then losing their own families or their own children. And so what I talked about for, gosh, it seems like a long time ago now, but over the last year, was working with communities, working with community leaders, and that includes those from the government, that includes those teachers, law enforcement officers, and people who work inside the court to make sure we at least can get people to see what's going on, to identify the issue of the racial disparity at which our court is operating at before we can start to take steps to sort of correct what's happening. I think a lot of times we are asked to fix problems that people don't see. And one of the problems that I see is that that folks aren't sort of acknowledging this issue that we're having. And so that's my number one priority and plan, is to go in and to ask everyone involved who touches the criminal justice system for kids, for the juvenile justice system, to start looking at data, of course, but to also start looking around and see the people who come before the court and see what's happening, and try to humanize that experience a lot more from the very beginning.
And Judge-elect Bloom, some of the campaign materials that you use cited what you see as disparities that exist on the front lines of the juvenile justice system, and you targeted information that selects streets and schools in Cincinnati.
That's right.
And poor suburbs, mostly predominantly Black, are where police make the most juvenile arrests. So that's an issue of the frontline enforcement of the law. You'll be sitting on the bench. What role would a judge like you play in any of these reforms in addressing those issues?
That is a great question, and one that I have done a lot of research on and deep dive, sort of digging into what judges, successful judges in the rest of our state have been doing. And what they do and what I plan to do is be, first, hold the audience for, when the judge comes in the room, people listen, whether it be because they want to or because they have to, because it's the judge, but to keep that audience open to listening to the experiences from either the children or the families or the law enforcement officers who are involved, those who are actually involved in the day-to-day, environments that we're talking about. The other thing then is to make sure that the judge, which all of the judges in the court and the magistrates, that's another thing that I talked about during the campaign, is that we need to make sure that we have magistrates who are hearing the cases, who reflect our communities, who look like the kids and families who come before them, who speak the same languages, who come from the same neighborhoods, to make sure that I am using all of the tools and any sort of resources that I have to make sure that the court reflects the diverse community that's coming before it. I think that right now our court is has a lot of really wonderful, smart, and hardworking people. However, I think that we also have to make sure that we are considering the locations that these kids are coming from, that these parents are coming from, and make sure that we have people on our staff who have either lived there and lived that experience or can tell us about it. We have to be open to understanding how different that experience is. Collecting that information is absolutely one of my jobs as the judge. You're right to say that once kids are brought in, they're sort of off the front line and they're on the second line now and they're in front of the judge. But then we have them in our, in our grasp, and we can start to use some of the programs that I'm sure Michael will tell you about and that I've been reading about how successful they are to help alleviate the stress that is in certain neighborhoods and on certain streets.
That's Judge-elect Carrie Bloom, who will be serving on the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas in the Juvenile Division. We're also joined by Michael Umpierre. He's the director for the Center for Juvenile Justice Reform at Georgetown University. Michael, Georgetown is no stranger to Hamilton County, incidentally, because late last summer, some experts provided by the university met with representatives from seven different Hamilton County agencies about this. What did your organization learn about our part of the country?
Well, I think that Hamilton County for a few decades now has been on a trajectory that in many ways is very inspiring, because there has been historically a commitment to evidence-based and data-driven approaches to the way that we shape policies and practices in serving young people in the county. And the program that you're describing is specifically around the school justice pipeline that Judge-elect Bloom was describing. This is a certificate program that we operate at Georgetown, entitled the School Justice Partnerships and Diversion Pathways Certificate Program. And we came to Cincinnati. We brought together those partners that you described, including the juvenile court, including representatives from Cincinnati Public Schools, Northwest Local Schools, Princeton City Schools, Legal Aid Society, Job and Family Services, Educational Services Centers, and others. And we had a discussion with the group over the course of a week around how young people in the county experience the school system and are referred to the justice system. And as a result of that body of work, this team, this incredible leadership team, is embarking on a project that's really designed to look at those pathways, to examine them, particularly with a focus on how students of color experience the schools and the pathways to the justice system, all with the goal of improving outcomes for those kids, for their families, and for the communities.
You lead an organization that must look at issues across the country. What are some of the more troublesome trends that we're seeing in juvenile justice?
Yeah, we get this question a lot about, what's the biggest challenge with respect to juvenile justice policy and practice? And I look at it from the other lens, which is, what is the solution? What are the strategies that we know from the research that really will make the biggest difference in the lives of young people and families and communities. And what Judge-elect Bloom was describing in terms of a focus on fairness, in terms of a focus on looking at really meeting the needs of young people and families who touch our systems, that's where we need to be. Over the last two decades, the body of research on what works to improve public safety, to improve positive youth outcomes and family and community outcomes has grown significantly. And what we know from that body of research is that programs and approaches that are steeped in a therapeutic and developmental philosophy, as opposed to those that are steeped in punishment or fear or surveillance, are the ones that are going to get you the most bang for your buck. They're going to improve those public safety outcomes. They're going to improve outcomes for young people, for families, for communities across a whole series of domains. So our challenge in juvenile justice is to align our policies and procedures and approaches so that we're helping kids develop those skills that we know will make the difference, that we help kids maintain strong relationships with families and other supporters, that we address the needs of young people as well as the needs of family holistically. And the efforts that, as I said, that Judge-elect Bloom are describing and the path that Hamilton County has been on now for a number of years really is in line with this evidence-based and data-driven approach moving forward. So I would say one of the biggest challenges is moving away from the traditional correctional style approach in juvenile justice to one that really embraces a therapeutic approach, by the way, that still holds young people accountable for their behavior and focuses on repairing harm to the community, but does it in a way that acknowledges the differences between young people and adults and really, you know, leverages the research that we know that teaches us that these types of developmental approaches are much, much better for all involved.
You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're speaking today with Judge-elect Carrie Bloom, who is set to serve in the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas in the Juvenile Division, and also Michael Umpierre. He's the director of the Center for Juvenile Justice Reform at Georgetown University. Judge-elect Bloom, prior to being elected judge, you served as a public defender. I'm wondering, obviously without being specific, if you could share any general experiences you had representing juvenile defendants in the court system.
Absolutely. So the perspective that you learn or that you have when you're a public defender is that everyone, I talked about it a little bit earlier, but everyone has at their core, they're a human. We have to learn to humanize our cases. We have to learn to, like Michael was talking about, acknowledge injury that's happened in a community or to a community or to a victim through a case. But then we look at, as we represent our clients, who is this person and how did they get to the place that they are right now? How did they end up in the criminal justice system? And a lot of times that takes peeling off a lot of layers. And we go all the way back usually to an instance of trauma or to an instance of being victimized themselves, where due to a lot of different situations, they didn't receive the sort of care that otherwise they might have needed to help them heal. And I would say that that is the biggest lesson that I've taken away from being a public defender, which is a wonderful job and a wonderful way to get to know how your county is working. But is that at our core, all of us have responses to trauma and to things that affect us. And some of us are able to get attention and services and the programs that we need. And when we don't, we see it manifest itself in a way that can harm, can end up harming our society. So what I've learned the most about, you know, especially kids, is that they are resilient. Kids are really resilient. We've seen them overcome some big obstacles, but also they need resources, and that's what they want too. Even though their brains, which aren't developed yet, and are still developing, at the time that they have these behavior responses, they need resources and information, but they aren't mature enough yet to ask for it. So what we see as a negative behavior, we see as acting out is a word or a phrase that we say a lot with kids. They're acting out, or their behavior is, you know, struggling, or is not desirable. What that actually is a lot of times is a kid not knowing how to express themselves, not knowing how to ask for the things that they need. And to our community, it looks like a crime, which, don't get me wrong, there are things that happen that are awful, and victimization happens, and this is not an excuse. But I would say that a lot of kids, their first step into the criminal justice system when they're kids is a behavior that they otherwise don't know how to handle, and it comes across as bad to someone, and they end up getting arrested. And that is something that my perspective as a public defender, I'm so happy to have it, and I'm happy to bring it to the bench so that I can start to ask the questions that otherwise, without that background, I wouldn't know to ask.
Michael, your organization assisted Hamilton County, and according to Nick Swartzel's reporting from last fall in CityBeat, he's now our assistant producer here at Cincinnati Edition at WVXU, the application stood out because of all of the different organizations that were involved in seeking this type of help. We're talking about the Hamilton County Juvenile Court, the Legal Aid Society of Greater Cincinnati, Cincinnati Public Schools, Northwest Local School District, Princeton City Schools, Hamilton County Job and Family Services, and the Hamilton County Educational Service Center. So that's a lot of moving parts. And it sounds like, based on what I'm hearing from Judge-elect Bloom, that seems what would be necessary in most communities, because we're talking about maybe educational opportunities that are missed out upon, community activity opportunities that are missed out upon, that set some of these kids on a trajectory that's unfavorable to what might be ultimate life goals, particularly avoiding any type of run-in with the law.
That's exactly right. And I think that in far too many jurisdictions, what we see is a siloed approach to serving young people and families in the communities. And what we know is that it's the same young people and families who touch multiple systems, whether it's the juvenile court and juvenile justice, whether it's the child welfare system, whether it's behavioral health and education. Our task is to come together and to serve young people and families in a collaborative way, in a coordinated way, so that we can maximize system resources, so that we can lessen the burdens on youth and families. And we can really provide streamlined and effective programming to young people and families. And that's what this effort in Hamilton County, why it's so inspiring and powerful, is because we have the court, you know, with the leadership there and you know, the buy-in with the schools, with Job and Family Services, with the community groups and legal aid and others coming together and saying, we need to figure out alternatives to the school to justice pathway. We want to make sure that we can do everything that we can to keep kids in school and engaged, because we know they're going to be better off as a result. And let's work together collectively as a team. And like I said, I think that this effort really builds on the history in Hamilton County. If you think about the work around targeted reclaim, or investments in community-based programs like youth advocate programs in Hamilton County, or more recently, the effort to take on the Juvenile Detention Alternatives Initiative. This reflects a desire to align the work with what the research shows is effective. And at the heart of it really is a cross-system collaborative approach.
According to census estimates back in 2018, the percent of people under the age of 18 in Hamilton County who are African-American was just 30.3%. But African-American children made up 81% of the more than 2,000 minors who had been issued warrants through the juvenile court back in 2018. That's according to data from the court. And up 75% in just 3 years. So, Judge-elect Bloom, as we look at the larger context of what's happening in cries for more social justice. We saw marches here in Cincinnati, as we did all across the country, but that mostly centered around adults. How do we refocus this at all, if necessary, to talk about injustice facing young Black kids?
I think that's a really hard question. And I think it's something that a lot of us as advocates and judges struggle with. And we absolutely do have to refocus our entire community back towards justice and fairness, but especially on where it begins, which is childhood and kids and families. And the statistics out of Hamilton County are astounding. And though they have, the disparity has gone up, like you said, over the last few years, it has always been there. The racial disparity has always been a part of our juvenile justice system. And I think the community recognized that it was time to do something about it in this past election. I know, there's several changes in our criminal justice system here locally. I think electing judges with different backgrounds, like myself, like a couple of other judges that come from civil rights backgrounds and come from public defender backgrounds and law enforcement backgrounds, is helpful to put another eye to see what exactly is going on here. Why is this disparity in juvenile court so large? And I can tell you what I've started doing is reaching out to judges across the state to see what conversations they're having with their law enforcement, with their prosecutor's office, to start to address the issues that they have there, because there are some successful programs and there are some successful judges who have been able to reduce the disparity, have been able to keep kids in schools, have been able to get rid of expelling and suspending preschoolers, have been able to do those sorts of things that we know all too often are the very slippery slope of a kid into the criminal justice system. And so refocusing our community, who already seems very focused, like you said, we had a big movement over the summer. It's still going on to some extent. And to keep people focused on the big picture of these are kids, our community is safer when they're safe, our community is safer when they're taken care of. And exactly how should we do that and how can we do that is my plan to figure that out once I take the bench.
Michael, and again, Michael Lempierre is the director of the Center for Juvenile Justice Reform at Georgetown University. Did the events of the past year, as they relate to civil rights and social justice, impact the way your organization conducts business or creates opportunities for discussion? Was there a way to, I don't want to say capitalize, but to use that movement to focus on juvenile justice reform?
I think what's changed is an increased recognition of the way that young people and families and people of color experience the systems, an increased recognition of the systemic racism that exists. But this has been part of the system since its inception. So I think the opportunity is to have more enlightened conversations about the realities that individuals of color face, and to lead to a discussion around what are the solutions. I think what Judge-elect Bloom describes is a phenomenon that we see all across the country, which is that youth of color in the justice system face disparities at every stage of the system, whether that's at arrest, whether that's at how charging decisions are made versus diversion, whether that's at detention, so on and so forth. And so our challenge is how to reduce those disparities and eliminate them. Now, there's been a great deal of work in that area around increasing training around bias and cultural responsiveness and adolescent development, an examination of the types of tools that aid decision-making in juvenile justice, including at the court level with respect to detention and commitment and others, talking about partnering in meaningful ways with youth and families and communities around these discussions as well. But there's so much more work to be done in Hamilton County, but really nationally. And for me, when we think about these issues, it's not just a matter of fairness, but it's also a matter of what the best outcomes will be as a result. We know from the research that for young people in particular, perceptions of fairness matter. Perceptions of fairness matter in terms of the level of engagement that the young person will have. There's procedural due process research, for example, that shows that if a young person believes that a judicial process has been fair, they're much more likely to accept the consequences and the decisions that are made. As a result, they're much more likely to engage with system staff and partners. And that means engaging in the type of programming and services that we know will make the difference. So by having a fairer system, it's not just the right thing to do, and it is the right thing to do. It's in line with the core values of our democracy and our government, but it's also directly related to the outcomes that we seek. And so dedicated efforts around promoting equity and fairness are critically important. They're at the core of what every system should be focusing on. And I think that this moment in time with this increased recognition, there is more of an opportunity to lead that work in ways that we have seen in many, many years.
Michael Ampierre is the director of the Center for Juvenile Justice Reform at Georgetown University. And Carrie Bloom is judge-elect at the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas Juvenile Division. Judge-elect Bloom, Michael, thanks to both of you for the time you gave us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us on today.
Thanks again.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.